Our Adam Schefter reporting that the Cowboys are now listening to trade offers for Micah Parsons. What's your reaction to that?
Micah Parsons, hey, look, you can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Micah Parsons to go anywhere. All of it, all of this is part of the negotiations. And as I talked to Jerry the other day on my podcast, and he was talking about it the other day when he tried to make that offer, he said somebody told him to shove it up his rear and all of that. I honestly, it blew my mind. It blew my mind that any kind of conversation like that would be going on in a situation like this. Micah Parsons, I want him to take control of this thing and say, I don't care about you two and whatever y'all got going. Get y'all butts in a room and get my money on that paper. That's what you need to be doing. So I'm hoping that's what gets done. But I guarantee Micah Parsons not going anywhere. Jerry's not that crazy. This is all what we call just negotiation stuff.
60 minutes later, Micah Parsons was no longer a member of the Dallas Cowboys.
I think you mean 60 seconds.
Today is a great day.
It's a fantastic day, Denton.
It's the first Football Friday of the 2025 season, at least in college football.
Gave us our first winners yesterday. Thank you.
I handed out some money yesterday. I hope everyone was on USF. We won't talk about the other pick I gave out, but USF hit. And at like 4:30 p.m., 5 p.m.
I think it was 5 on the dot.
We get news from Adam Schefter. Micah Parsons gone in Dallas. Headed to the Green Bay Packers. Dallas gets Kenny Clark and two first-round picks in return. Today is a great day.
I'm so glad you're not laughing.
I'm laughing internally. The problem is my laugh on radio sounds a little too maniacal.
Well, this would be the time for it, my friend.
It would be the time, but I think I'm saving it for better days, Max. There will be many better days than this, because who trades a 26-year-old superstar who is approaching the prime of his career? He's not even in the prime yet, which is crazy because he's had 12 sacks every year of his career. He's approaching the prime of his career, and you trade him for two first-round picks and an aging defensive tackle. And it's not even like the first-round picks are going to be great picks because you're trading him to a contender. This senile bastard in Jerry Jones. What a moron. I am so glad that after 30 years of being the laughingstock, the Haynesworth deal, the Archuleta deal, Carson Wentz, McNabb, the list goes on and on and on. And by the grace of God himself, it's not us anymore. We are no longer the laughingstock because an 82-year-old billionaire who is effectively senile is in charge of what is supposed to be, and what effectively still is, despite all of this, the most powerful franchise in American sports. It's being run by an idiot. And by an idiot that thinks he's a genius. There's only one thing worse than an idiot, Max, and it's an idiot that thinks he's intelligent. Because you can't tell him nothing. And they took Micah Parsons and shipped him away. Jerry. 3 weeks ago, I was on this show talking about the NFC East and talking about why the offensive line was such a priority for Washington, because you had to go up against the Giants, and that Giants defensive line come week one scares me a little bit. You got to go up against Philadelphia. Philadelphia won a Super Bowl, didn't blitz a single time in that game. And you had to go up against arguably the best defensive player in the game in Micah Parsons. And then Jerry traded him away because he tried to get him to sign a contract like he's given away land in the 1800s when contracts weren't really a thing, because you had to get a literal feather and some ink to sign that thing, and it was so much easier to do it with a handshake. This guy is trapped 150 plus years ago trying to sign Micah Parsons to a deal. This absolute buffoon of a man. leather skin and all, this idiot. I am so glad, Max, I live in a time where I can watch Jerry Jones literally implode the organization that I hate the most in the NFL and do it from the inside while trying to convince everybody that he is a genius and doing the right thing.
I think you're a genius, Jerry.
What an intelligent man. This dude paid Dak Prescott $60 million. 60 with a 6 and a 0. Dak is like a 12 to 15 quarterback in this league. Especially when he paid him. There were some times where Dak was a top 10 quarterback. It is not when Jerry paid him. He's like a 12 to 15 quarterback in this league. He reset the market, which no one has topped since. A bunch of guys got paid this year. Nobody got $60 million. He'd pay Dak $60 million, but will not pay arguably the best player at the second most important position, $45 million. He instead lets Green Bay pay him $48 million, and he trades him away again for an aging defensive tackle and two first-round picks that likely are going to be late in the first round. You know who you're going to get that's better than Micah Parsons at pick number potentially 26, 27, 8, 9, 30, 31, 32? No one! No one! And then on top of that, Max, it just like, just when I thought, I was like, this is great, this is, it's not going to get better. It gets better because this leather-faced idiot got in front of a microphone and said, we might flip these two first-round picks for a good player now. Who? Who is available?
I hear Michael Parsons is available.
You want to flip him for Trey Hendrickson now? Like, hey, Cincinnati, we'll give you two first. And then Jerry will get up at a press conference and be like, well, he had 17 and a half sacks 2 years in a row. He's clearly better than Micah Parsons. Well, yeah, who cares that he's 30 years old and Micah Parsons was 26? Who cares that the cap was moving up so the $48 million contract in a year and a half wouldn't even be all that crazy? Just take that out of your mind. He didn't like my handshake deal in 2025. I couldn't believe that yesterday was real. I couldn't.
It's one of those days that you just kind of wake up and it doesn't fully hit you about how great the day is until your head hits the pillow.
Like, my head hit the pillow very late last night. It was actually early
you,
this
man.
Morning. We'll get into that, though. College football was awesome last night.
Sick.
You texted me as I was on a run. The last time I got a big text when I was on a run, it was when Terry requested a trade.
Whew.
So you texted me. Let me pull up the text message.
I believe I said, holy word you can't say.
Yeah, there has to be some family-friendly edits to that. Yes, you just said holy, and then a word that starts with the letter S. And there was a tweet. And that, we know when you run, or not when you run, but when you pick your phone up, it, you know, when you have a lot of messages, it just goes that, but it's just a link to an Adam Schefter tweet, but I can't see the tweet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have a feeling, I think I know what this is, but I don't know how big of a holy S word this is actually going to be. My guess was, this is something to do with Michael Parsons, because in fairness and in transparency, I had already written a segment about Michael Parsons that we were going to do to start the show about how I think Adam Peters should sell everything other than Jaden and Terry to Dallas to get Michael Parsons. And I was going to have this crazy take. Phone lines were going to be out the wazoo. And I look at the tweet and it says that Michael Parsons was dealt. And then this is not a shot at you, Max. I just had to do due diligence.
Understandable.
I just had to make sure that this was real.
I get it.
Because I've been fooled by the Adam Schefflers. You know, I've been fooled by all these guys. Schefter, there's like a 7 in there somewhere. I just had to make sure that this was going to be accurate. And Elon's Twitter, you don't know who is real and who's not anymore.
And there's another part of this tweet that I sent you that also kind of raises the red flag that it could be fake. Because it says ESPN sources, Cowboys are trading 3-time All-Pro linebacker Micah Packers to the Green Bay Packers.
I can only imagine the heart rate of one Adam Schefter.
He's shaking.
As he is breaking this news. So there was a video that was done by Sports Illustrated years ago. Like this had to be 2017 probably. 2017, 2018, whenever A.J. Bouye went to the Jaguars, and you're probably like, what kind of sicko knows that off the top of my head?
I remember A.J. Bouye.
Everybody remembers A.J. Bouye because he took this Jacksonville defense and made them Saxonville. Then they made it to the NFC Championship. So that happened, I think, in 2018. So this had to be like the summer of 2017, or maybe it was released in 2018.
Sure.
But it was a day in the life of Adam Schefter in free agency. And I bring this up because this was around the time where it became socially acceptable for like Adam Schefter to be on his phone during television segments. There was a point in time, believe it or not, where that was a massive no-no. You have to get off of the screen. They cannot see you texting on your phone. That was also a point in time where beards were not allowed on television. Thank God we
for
have,
shame.
Thank God we have moved away from that. They also didn't really like tattoos on television, and now tattoos are on television.
Hell
but
yeah.
I bring this up because in this video, it's like 7 minutes. It was pretty cool. It came out when I was in college, like kind of, you know, cutting my teeth in the industry and doing all that sort of stuff. But in this video, Adam Schefter breaks the A.J. Bouye signing. It's like a free agency signing. And he's like shaking during that. Now, A.J. Bouye is a fine player. A.J. Bouye and Micah Parsons. And for a guy in Adam Schefter that seemingly never sleeps. Now, thankfully for him, I don't believe that he has to go into studio nearly as frequently, because there was a point in time where he lived, if the studio was in Connecticut, he lived in like somewhere in New York or New Jersey where it was a 90-minute commute to and from the studio. That means working 16-hour days. In the video, he had a driving service, which is smart, but he's working 16-hour days commuting.
I don't think he drives anymore.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, he can't.
He can. He's literally too busy.
Too important and too busy, yeah.
He's too, like, the worst thing about being Adam Schefter is, like, basic things, grocery store, can't do. Workout class, can't do. You ain't gonna see Adam Schefter in a Zumba class.
It's true.
You know, Terry was doing yoga when he wasn't here. Adam Schefter ain't doing no yoga. He literally cannot. But this man had to be like shaking uncontrollably, heart rate at 1,000, breaking this. You don't see Schefty make mistakes, but Micah Packers was a new one.
Brand new.
It's a brand new one, but it's nowhere near as bad as Jerry Jones. Not once, not twice, but like 4 separate times. Calling Micah Parsons Michael. He said, Michael Parsons.
Michael.
And at first, when I saw this, I was like, well, maybe this is, and we'll pull this audio up in a second so you, the listener, can hear it. And maybe you can see, you can hear what I thought at first. I thought it was just like the Arkansas Southern draw of Jerry Jones. Old dude, you know, kind of speaks like a grandma or a grandpa, which I guess he is because he's 82 years old. But I say that he has like a very similar cadence to my 92-year-old grandmother. She just speaks slowly, delayed. She doesn't have a Southern drawl because she's from Jersey and he's from Arkansas. So they're like two completely different beings. But I thought it was just like the Southern drawl of Jerry Jones not being able to properly pronounce Micah. And who knows what Jerry Jones was on, because he is a billionaire and he is definitely on something. But listen to this. This is Jerry Jones calling Micah Parsons, arguably the best defensive player in the league, and a guy that he just traded to the Green Bay Packers. This is Micah Parsons being called Michael by Jerry Jones.
There was no question in our mind that Michael could bring us a lot of resources on a trade.
It got so bad to where Stephen Jones had to stop Jerry and be like, Micah. It is not Michael. It is Micah.
And there was a moment in the presser where Jerry finally learned. I'll play that for you.
The other thing that I would like to say is I made a commitment to Michael this spring, Micah, and paid him. And to pay him.
This guy is not a real human being. Like, you know, sometimes I envy billionaires, well, a lot of times, because $1 billion would solve a good majority of my problems in my life. But I'm like, you can't live like a normal life. You're like not a normal human. And this is a great example of this. How do you not know the guy's name? How do you constantly mess up the guy's name? And let alone, like, the handshake deal is the craziest thing in the world. Did he offer Dak Prescott a handshake deal for $60 million? Why is Micah Parsons any different than any of the other deals that Jerry has negotiated? You know what's not included in a handshake deal? Guaranteed money. The amount of years in fine print. Anything in fine print. You can create a handshake deal and then just load a bunch of stuff into the fine print, and then you're completely screwing over one Michael Parsons. Why on earth would anybody take that offer? And by the way, the offer was apparently not that impressive, all things considered. It was like $40.5 million, which at the time where they made that, I believe that would have been the highest pay, because I think the handshake deal was either right after or right before Jamar Chase. But Jamar Chase is getting like $40.1 million. So the $40.5 would have made Michael Parsons the highest paid defensive player, the highest paid nine quarterback in the NFL and NFL history, but then the TJ Watt contract kind of trumps that. So it's not going to be the same. And then you have this other team that's willing to offer him $48 million. This deal also was made way before we knew about it. And here is where I need to do a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to be a very big man. Pause. I would like to apologize to Kay Adams. I said yesterday on the program, when Max brought up that Kay Adams had tweeted about the potential of this deal, I said, I don't know what Kay Adams knows. I don't know what authority she has when it comes to news breaking. It's not her bag, right? Great interviewer, hasn't really broken a lot of news. I didn't know that the pull that Kay Adams has was this strong. So for that, I would like to sincerely apologize to the lovely Kay Adams. I was not familiar with your game. You clearly are the queen of this. Please accept my apology. And if you could, maybe get Abdul Carter out of the division as well. Can you do that next? Thank you. Or get the next pass rusher to come here. Because that is the only bad thing here, Max. Michael Parsons is done. He is out of here. That is great. I really wanted him to be here. And when I saw what they gave up being the Green Bay Packers, which was a big contract, obviously you were going to pay Michael Parsons. If you're trading for Michael Parsons, you are going to pay Michael Parsons. Duh. They gave up two first-round picks and an aging defensive tackle. I don't buy into any of the propaganda about how this makes Dallas better because now they can stop the run. You do not get better by trading away Michael Parsons and getting just one singular guy back in return. I would have given up Daron Payne and three first-round picks. Would it have taken a lot of convincing? Yes. Would Adam Peters have had to swindle Jerry Jones so bad that multiple states in this country would have called it elder abuse? Yes. But I wanted Micah Parsons here. And this is where we open up the phone lines. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Should Washington have gone all in on going and getting Micah Parsons? 301-230-0980. You can tweet me as well, at the Denton Day. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in on the Team 980. Is the Kevin Sheehan Show, Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Evan Washburn going to join us in a little over an hour from CBS Sports. Talk college football with Rob Brown at 11, Ben at 12, and Zach Wolchuk from Dallas, who, if you remember, if you are a P1 listener to this show, we had Zach Wolchuk on about a year and a half ago. And Zach Wolchuk was the first person that ever made a comment on the potential of Micah Parsons not being in Dallas long term that I heard, that you probably heard. So getting him on now, it is very full circle. Not for him. I don't think he's very pleased, but it is full circle for us. So that's coming in about 2 hours. Right now, we're going to the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Micah Parsons being out of the division is great news. It really would be a shame if, you know, Micah Parsons hasn't practiced in a while. Would really be a shame if that ramp up takes, you know, a couple weeks. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think, you know, week three is like a great time for Micah Parsons.
You know, coming off a short week, week two, or from week one,
you don't want to rush him.
You don't want to rush.
You're paying $48 million to him. Like, week three is a perfect time for Micah Parsons.
You might as well let him get off to a slow start. And
you don't want to bring him back on a Thursday, certainly.
Yeah, you don't want him to hurt himself.
No, that's your investment. So week three would be a perfect time for Micah Parsons. Him being out of the division and not having to see Jayden Daniels is great. The only thing that would have been better is if he was wearing the burgundy and gold. I would have loved if Adam Peters really swung for the fence, manipulated the hell out of senile-ass Jerry Jones, and would have landed Michael Parsons. Are you upset that seemingly he did not even, I don't know that he didn't try, I think that's unfair to say, but he didn't make the necessary moves to get a Michael Parsons? We will start on the phones at 301-230-0980. Sherlock is in D.C. Sherlock, what's going on?
Okay, how you doing? Okay, I'm answer the question. No, I don't think. No, we don't need Michael Parsons, because the whole thing with that is, if we would have got him, that would have tilted our team in another direction as far as the money we had to pay out. But I wanted to comment on this. What I was talking to you about on the phone is that Jerry Jones, I mean, somebody called him crazy or whatever, but I'm just saying, Michael Parsons going to Green Bay. Maybe can get in the Super Bowl. I know they can make a playoff. But far as what was my point with Michael Parsons? But he's getting two round draft picks, the Cowboys. So he probably thinking of building a team up next year. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't got nothing coming this year. I mean, what they got coming this year, the Cowboys? That's all I
got
to say.
They got nothing. I appreciate it. So here's two things. You mentioned the Packers. The Packers did jump Washington in terms of Super Bowl odds, for those that pay attention to these sorts of things. The Packers are now like 9-1 to win the Super Bowl, they're 13-1 to win the Super Bowl after being like 22-23 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. So the odds effectively got cut in half for Green Bay with the addition of Michael Parsons. Michael Parsons is a legitimate needle mover in these sorts of things, because again, he's a top three defensive player. There is one thing, I'll get back to some calls in a second here. There's one thing that I have found to be absolutely hilarious in Cowboy fans attempting to mentally make up for this trade.
Cope.
We're getting Arch Manning. And let me tell you,
you know, this thought did cross my brain too.
If you think that Archie Manning, who stopped Eli Manning from going to the Chargers all the way back in 2004, is going to allow Arch Manning, who has been without question the most protected player that we have seen from high school jumping into college in the social media world ever. That dude barely tweets. He ain't on no social media. They are protecting him with every fiber of their being. And you think that they're going to send his ass to senile Jerry Jones? Are you kidding? They are not landing Arch Manning. They might trade a first-round pick for Shedeur Sanders. They ain't landing Arch Manning. I am not worried about that in any way, shape, or form. Back to the phones. 301-230-0980. Anthony is in D.C. Anthony, what's going on?
Not too much. So on a reality tip, there was no way in hell that Jerry Jones was going to trade to the Commanders or the Eagles. So to play along with the scenario, you get Micah Parsons, you blow up your salary cap, you still got to sign Jaden, you still got buku contracts next year. So hypothetically, how far were you willing to go to give up assets?
I would have given up Daron Payne, and I would have given up 3 first-round picks if that's what it took to get Michael Parsons here. I understand what you're trying to say, but you can very easily design that contract to where when it's time to pay Jane Daniels, you're going to be perfectly okay, especially with the continual rising of the cap. And then as painful as this is to say, because right now Frankie Louvu is a great player on this defense, if you sign Michael Parsons, the need to re-sign Frankie Louvu next year is not as glaring. You still like to keep him because having both of those two guys would be awesome. But Michael Parsons would then take precedence over Frankie Louvu. And then you just kind of work it out with like a Debo and a Laremy Tunsil. Unless Debo goes out there and just has like 1,500 total yards, I don't know that he's going to get a crazy, crazy contract. He's just going to be more focused on guarantees. And then Laremy Tunsil, you'll just have to bite the bullet there with that one. You'll have to pay him a little bit of money, but I don't really think that it'll set you back a ton. And then you can then maneuver some picks around, get more later first-round picks. That's seemingly where Adam Peters likes to do his best work. And if they're just going to do the mercenary route, which they did last year and this year, you could very easily field a roster. But then if you get Micah Parsons, you have a top-3 defensive end, a top-3 left tackle, and a top-5 quarterback. And then depending on how you feel about Terry, a top-10 wide receiver. I would gladly take that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Terrell is in Baltimore. Terrell, what's going on?
Hey, listen, this is a great day in DMV. I'm just telling you.
It
like,
is.
To not have to deal with Micah for two games a year is amazing. But it sounds flashy to, like, if he could have been in the Burgundy Gold. I personally don't like ex-Cowboys being in the Burgundy and Gold. I just don't like it. It's just something about playing for the other team. I'm not with it. But at the other time, like, we're always talking about how this team is the oldest team in the league right now. And so, like, if we're giving up two first-rounders, or like you said, three first-rounders, I think that's really hindering this team to grow and develop and bring your draft picks on. So although he is a generational game-changer, difference-maker, I don't know if that's enough because we have too many holes to fill. So, like, no, it might be better off going with the Luvu and these other guys until we can get our guys built up through the draft. So I don't know if I would do it, but it does sound great. I just wouldn't do it for the entirety of my team.
Terrell, that's a great call. Here is the thing in terms of the holes to fill. The glaring hole is filled, with Micah Parsons. He is a legitimate game wrecker. He is what you call a Tuesday player. What is a Tuesday player? That means coaches are fearful on Tuesday when you're like, uh-oh, I got to face this guy this week. Preparation starts immediately. You might even be preparing the Tuesday prior when you know that a guy like Micah Parsons is coming up. He fills the need for a legitimate game wrecker. And because you have a legitimate game wrecker, that would open up avenues for everybody else to go and be great. But also it opens up avenues for everybody else to not see doubles, which theoretically would then help in stopping of the run and then allowing other guys like your Johnny Newton, your Javon Kinlaws, Dietrich Wise, your Doan Armstrong, whoever, Frankie Luvu, to go get after the quarterback and see a lot of one-on-one matchups instead of potentially getting chipped, doubled, what have you, because so much attention is going to be directed at Micah Parsons. And then also because of how deep they are at defensive back, like the defense would be substantially better if you add a guy like Micah Parsons. The one caveat to the argument is something that a lot of you guys have made, and I think it's a very fair point. You want to get younger at some point. Like, you don't just want to constantly be the oldest team in the NFL, and, you know, the first-round draft picks would certainly help in that regard, but it's just very, very rare that you get an opportunity to get a top-three defensive player legitimately available, although it did kind of sound like there was never a chance that he was going anywhere else. Green Bay, for whatever the reason is, Green Bay was the only place that he was ever going to actually end up going. Jason is in Laurel. Jason, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? It's funny because when I saw your tweet, I did the same thing you did with the text that you got. I had to check it. I was like, this can't be true. I'm dumbfounded. And somebody's got to ask Adam Peters about this because, you know, I know we want to rebuild through the roster, but you dropped him on this roster that we have right now, two Super Bowls. All right. And you can get other free agents because people are going to want to play here. What it just dumbfounds me that we didn't even try to pull this off or didn't pull off, because I know Micah and our coach have a relationship. They talk all the time. He talks about this on his podcast a couple times, and he has said publicly a couple times that he'd like to come here, or he'd like to come with DQ. So I'm dumbfounded that that this happened. Doubly dumbfounded that we didn't make a play for, or maybe we find out today we did. And the third thing is, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about this, I don't want to play him on a short week in week two. That actually kind of scares me a little bit. Because week one, we got Carter, and week two, we got this guy. That makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, that does make me nervous, which again, Jason, I appreciate the call as always. Be a real shame if they hold him to week three. You know, you just get to deal with Abdul Carter and the host of Giants guys, because it is more than just Carter, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, that Giants defensive front is just frightening. They really, really are. So it would be a real shame if Micah Parsons, you know, that back is a little tight. Maybe you don't want to play him on a short week. You just deal with Rashawn Gary on Thursday night by himself and not Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons. I mean, that would just, again, it would be a real shame if Green Bay wanted to do something along those lines. I mean, who could fault them, though? You know, that big asset, you know, you want to keep your asset, keep him safe, keep him healthy. You know, it'd be a real shame there. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you wish that Adam Peters was aggressive and went out and got Micah Parsons? I said I would have traded a guy like Daron Payne, and I'm using Daron as an example because clearly the Dallas Cowboys wanted an aging defensive tackle. They got Kenny Clark. Congratulations. I would have given Daron Payne and a couple of first-round picks, maybe one more, maybe two first and a second, to Dallas to get Michael Parsons. It would have just taken a little bit of workshopping from Adam Peters and, honestly, a little bit of bullying. It would have been elder abuse. You had to make the Jerry think that he was winning the deal. But I definitely think Adam Peters could have done it. Lap is in D.C. Lap, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Denton? Yeah, this is very shocking. I'm surprised that he went to the Packers and got traded at all. I'm glad he out of our division. It does suck we will have to see him, you know, on the week two in a short week. Maybe he doesn't play, like you said, if the back tightness continues. But I agree with you, Denton. I would have definitely traded Payne and, you know, a couple of firsts and maybe a second, too, to get him, man, because he is dangerous, man. He's a really nice player. So we'll see, man. I'm just hoping we be ready for this season. And we're going to get battle-tested, bro, offense and defensive from teams. So hope we up for the challenge. And I don't want Jaden to have to be Superman. I hope the team has improved like they say. And I'm still a little nervous, Mr. Glass, as I call him, Noah Brown, and Debo, too. I just hope he's healthy, too, man. Terry, they pick up where they left off, and he'll be better. So we'll see, man.
Laugh. I appreciate it. A couple of you have mentioned that the relationship with Michael Parsons and Dan Quinn, that was certainly a point of leverage that I feel like Washington had in their favor over a team like Green Bay. On top of that, you know who else Michael Parsons really, really loves? Jaden Daniels. Like, to the point where it was kind of weird last year. Every time he was on a podcast praising Jaden Daniels. And because he was on a podcast every week, he was praising Jaden Daniels every single week. He loves Jaden. He loves Dan Quinn. I feel like you could have gotten away with maybe just paying him like $43 million, $45 million instead of the $48 that Green Bay gave him. But that's, who cares now? Who cares now, right? The question is just, would you have gone after him with just the might of 1,000 horses? 301-230-0980. We'll continue to take some of your calls when we get back. We'll talk college football with Rob Brown at 11, so in about 25 minutes. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, it is Friday, August 29th, and you may have heard already, but in case you did miss it, Micah Parsons has been traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for two first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Jerry Jones held a press conference late last evening and said, quote, the facts are we need to stop the run. We haven't been able to stop the run for several years. Those draft picks could get us top Pro Bowl players, end quote. The Mystics, they drop one to the New York Liberty. The rookies Kiki Arifin and Sonia Citrin continue to be right spots offensively, leading the team in scoring last night. Rough shooting night for the team as they go 20% from just beyond the arc. The final score, 89-63. To baseball, Kyle Schwarber becomes the 21st player in MLB history to hit four home runs in a ballgame, the third time this year after Nick Kurtz became the first rookie to accomplish the feat in July, and Eugenio Suarez did the same feat back in April. He becomes the first Philly to do it since Mike Schmidt in 1976. The Nats, they take on the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Mitch Parker looking to bounce back from his last two starts, giving up 12 runs in just 6 2/3 innings. He takes on Adrian Hauser. First pitch is at 6:45, and Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. At the Denton Day on Twitter. We'll get to the back to the phones in a second. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Should Adam Peters have taken the big swing and tried to convince senile Jerry Jones to trade Michael Parsons here? I have some stats on Michael Parsons as well that is going to make him getting out of this division or just away from this team significantly better. Real quick, though, just want to send a congratulations, Mikey Sannerstill, birth of his second child. Congratulations to the Sannerstill family. My wife sent me a TikTok of his wife, and she had the kid, I think it was yesterday. So congratulations to Mikey Sannerstill. So here are some stats that Ben Standing put out. And Ben's going to join us at 12. Here are some stats Ben Standing put out about Micah Parsons. His career-high splits and against the teams. In 8 games against the New York Giants, he's had 4.5 sacks. In 7 games against the Philadelphia Eagles, he has had 5 sacks.
Ready for the kicker.
In 3 games against the Carolina Panthers, he's had 5.5 sacks.
Oh, my.
So this man was literally a devil in Charlotte. In 8 games against Washington, 10.5 sacks. Unblockable when playing the Commanders.
Demon.
In the TFL department, tackle for loss, in 8 games against Philadelphia, or in 7 games against Philadelphia, 6 TFLs. 6 TFLs against the Giants in 8 games, 9 against Washington. That's a career high. Career high in sacks against Washington as well at 10.5. In quarterback hits, it gets better. 8 against Philadelphia in 7 games. 13 against New York in 8 games. 15 against Washington in 8 games. This man was on demon mode when taking on the Commanders. You know how nice it's going to be to not have to deal with him twice a year for the rest of his career?
I'm going to be waving goodbye until my wrist falls off.
I'll drive him to the airport. I will fly to Dallas on my Odyssey salary and drive that man to the airport. I'll handle his bags. I'll be his personal caddy. Check him into the lobby, or the not the lobby, the lounge, because he's balling. Make sure he's good in first class. I'll play flight attendant. I'll get him everything he needs. You want champagne on the plane? Here. You want chocolate-covered strawberries? I got you.
I'll sit on the floor in the back for the entire flight. I don't care.
You want a microwaved meal from United? Sure. Salisbury steak coming your way, Mr. Parsons.
I'll take care of it.
I'll do anything I need to get him onto that plane and the hell away from the Dallas Cowboys and the hell away from facing Washington twice. Unless Washington sees Green Bay in the playoffs.
Troubling.
Jerry Jones sending Micah Parsons to a contender was really, in a sense, the double bird to both the Eagles and the Commanders. Sorry, Giants fans, not there yet. It was the double bird to the Eagles and the Commanders because, theoretically, you can still play him twice. You play Green Bay on Thursday, week number 2. And if things go really well for Green Bay, and if things go really well for Washington, you potentially see them again in late January. And that's just like, ugh. Did Denver not want him? Did the Titans? Tennessee wasn't interested? I don't know, Michael Parsons would have felt great in Las Vegas. Did they not want him? So you still could theoretically play Michael Parsons twice, but at the very least, if you play him twice and one of them is in the playoffs, at least you're in the playoffs, you know, so there's a small caveat to that one of, well, things have to go well to play him twice. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Should Washington have gone harder to go get Michael Parsons? Ryland is with us. Ryland, what's going on?
How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, boys.
What a day to be alive, eh? What a day. They could have, but I think they could swindle the pack maybe and get him into the district. I don't think Jerry would ever send him to the Skins. But it's a little side note here, Dent. I think here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Cowboys are going to implode. I think this is the year they no longer get to tag America's team. It's coming back to the district. And I think they're going to be the bottom feeders of the NFL. So betting this Cowboys to be the worst team in the league, the bottom feeders, the bottom of the barrel, the dusters of all dust, is the best bet you can make.
So actually,
get them at plus 3,000.
You can get them at plus 3,000?
I can get them at plus 3,000 for the worst record in the NFL, and I'm going to hammer them. I just had to talk to you boys first.
Honestly, so yeah, if you got them at plus 3,000, take that, because I see them right now. Ryland, appreciate the call as always. I see him right now at 16-1. You can bet on Dallas to have the fewest wins in the NFL. The Saints are the prohibited favorite. And losing Michael Parsons is not about to make the Dallas Cowboys worse than the New Orleans Saints. Have you seen that quarterback room? It's going to make you vomit. But you can get Dallas to have the fewest regular season wins at BetMGM 16-1 right now. They were 18-1 prior to the trading of Michael Parsons. So the loss of Michael Parsons adjusts those odds and makes it a little bit more favorable to the sportsbooks, less favorable to the gamblers. It also boosts Green Bay from like 22-23-1 to win the Super Bowl to now 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. So a massive needle mover for Green Bay, and also moves the line for Dallas a little bit in the market of fewest wins in the NFL. I'm circling in my noggin to be like, how did this actually happen? You know, Ryland made a comment there. I have long stopped considering Dallas to be America's team. I think there have been much other better options over the last 20 years. You know, the Patriots to an extent, the Kansas City Chiefs, especially now that Taylor Swift is a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and now engaged to a superstar on the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't really believe that Dallas is America's team, but because of the success they had in the 90s and the trickle-down effect, Dallas still moves the number rating-wise better than anybody. That's why they're consistently, like, the reason Dallas is at that 425 slot on Thanksgiving, because consistently that is the most watched regular season window. And that's largely because Dallas is there. If you flipped it and had Dallas at 1 or 12 or whenever the first game kicks off and flipped the Lions to that middle section, that Dallas game would do better numbers. If you put Dallas on the night game, that Dallas game would do better numbers than any of the first two. So that window is really good right in the middle. It's kind of when you're, if you're like my family, we eat a little bit earlier Thanksgiving. We eat around like 2. So we're kind of done eating. Everyone's watching football game before you go back for seconds or in some cases thirds. If you're another family that eats later and you're like an 8 o'clock eating family on Thanksgiving, you're just kind of having the game on, preparing the food or waiting for people to come over. Maybe people are already there. You're pre-gaming, drinking, whatever. That middle window is a really good window, but that number would follow Dallas in terms of ratings wherever Dallas is placed on Thanksgiving. Let's go to Graham in Arlington, Texas. He is in the belly of the beast. Graham, what's going on?
Hello. I'm from Arlington, Texas, and I'm a Commanders fan in the middle of a world of Cowboys fans.
Brave.
And this trade came as a major shock, not only to me, but the rest of our community, especially after the Luka trade back earlier this year. So forgive me for the noise. I'm walking to uni right now. But I think Adam Peters should have gone all in on trying to trade. And I definitely do mean all in, because Micah Parsons has expressed his love for Dan Quinn. He's expressed excitement for Jaden Daniels. And the best thing that the Washington Commanders have right now, in my opinion, is the chemistry. They get along with each other very, very well. And Micah Parsons would only add to this. Micah Parsons was a fan of the Cowboys since he was very little, and he wanted to be on the Cowboys team. And probably the worst thing that Jerry Jones could have done is trade him away, because the Cowboys was his favorite team. But if he expressed interest for coming to the Commanders already had a lot of his previous friends, then coming here could have been great for Micah Parsons. He would have enjoyed it here, and he would have played very well. Now, whenever it comes to what I would give up, I'd be willing to give up quite a bit of draft picks for him, quite simply because even though we are an older team, I feel like the Commanders could really do really well in undrafted free agents and free agents. Especially if we do really well this next season, people are going to want to come to us like flies to a corpse on the highway.
Right, and they already do. I appreciate the call, Graham. It was a really good one. In the belly of the beast, too. They already do. That's why Von Miller's here. That's why Bobby Wagner's here. Zach Ertz. Guys are revitalizing their careers. And I don't know that Von Miller's going to revitalize his career in 36, but this is like his final ride off into the sunset. But you want to come here. You want to play for Dan Quinn. You want to be associated with the Commanders in 2025 and beyond because of who they have at quarterback, because of the ownership group making really positive changes that make the place here much more admirable than it has been. Before, guys were just, hey, is Dan Snyder going to be a fool and sign me to a contract that's way above the worth? Oh, sure, I'll come play here. I'll sign a contract after I stepped on a dude's head, ironically, on the Dallas Cowboys, had a great year. I'm going to sign a contract, buy a bunch of jewelry, never really end up playing that well for Washington because I can't run. I'm Albert Haynesworth. That's why guys were coming here before. Guys now actually want to play here. So that is a very nice caveat to have for Washington that would have made this a little bit easier. We will continue this conversation. Zach Wolchuk's going to join us in a little under 2 hours here. He's in Dallas. He was the first guy that had made any sort of real mention, at least on this station, about Michael Parsons potentially not being in Dallas for forever, because all of us thought that Michael Parsons was going to be in Dallas for forever. He is a forever kind of player in an organization. You only let him leave if it's like year 12 and you're like, you know what? You're 36. I don't know that you got it in you anymore, but he was definitely not there yet. And Dallas still decided to trade him. On top of that, there was a report yesterday from Ian Rapoport where he said that Michael Parsons took the offer to Dallas. The offer that Green Bay had, took the offer to Dallas and said, like, I'd still like to play here. Can we get to something comparable? And, you know, Dallas had offered 40 and a half early in the season on the Jerry Jones handshake deal. Green Bay was offering 48. I don't know that he expected Green Bay to get to 48, but kind of like to what Graham said, there's some personal feelings. Moving, just generally speaking, kind of sucks. You want a big contract. I bet Dallas could have kept him if it was 45. If it was $45 million, he probably stays in the same place to play with his teammates on the team that he grew up idolizing. He probably stays there for $45 million. And effectively what Ian Rapoport of NFL Network said was Jerry told him, or whoever, Jerry, Steven, whoever it was, told him, play on the fifth-year option or leave, which is a crazy statement to make. And Micah Parsons was like, I'll leave. See ya. And now Dallas has Kenny Clark and two first-round picks. And those first-round picks are probably going to be really late in the first round because Green Bay was already a pretty nice team in the NFC, and they filled the biggest hole, the biggest need on that roster by getting a guy that is a legitimate game wrecker. Evan Washburn in 30 minutes. We pivot to college football coming up next. Rob Brown of the Fan Upstate and BetMGM jumps on with us. We'll pick some games for this weekend. Don't go anywhere.